Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You have tuned into Paradigm Shifters, and one of our favorite Paradigm Shifters is with us again tonight. Galexis, a collective of consciousnesses channeled through Ginger Matrove. First, we're going to talk to Ginger. Welcome to the show, Ginger.
Well, thank you, Veronica. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm really excited to hear what you and Galexis have to say about these changing times and money. There's so much about what the foundation of, or the financial world and the financial success and the world monies.
Right,
and,
right. And,
wow.
And it's been so long that people who are spiritual, you know, who are on the fringe kind of thing and have kind of been outside the consensus, outside the collective, kind of looking in, generally don't have, with a few exceptions, of course, that much money for some reason.
Is that more
so? Like so many spiritual people have more financial problems.
Yeah, that's true. Is that more so now, or has that just always been the current of reality?
I think it's always been, because initially, you know, you had to choose between the material plane and the spiritual.
And some of us haven't quite married the two yet.
Kind of a traditional choice, you know?
Yeah. But it started to get better. We're doing all this manifestation and so on. Do you think maybe the spiritual people are just living outside the currents of the mainstream? Is that
well, that's the main reason that Galexis got into doing the money magic.
Aha.
Because they were like seeing how all of us are having difficulty getting support from the mainstream.
Hmm.
I mean, we're the leaders of the mainstream, but we're stretching the boundaries, but at the same time, the mainstream doesn't tend to recognize us, support us, validate us, et cetera, like that.
Hmm.
And so the energy lack that's there is, and many of us, too, also are kind of critical of the mainstream.
Mm-hmm. That's true, isn't it?
There's a separation. There's a detachment between us and the mainstream. And Galexis says it's time to close that gap, so that you can plug into the world and the world can plug into you and it doesn't mess you up at all.
Hmm.
And you can get, you know, you can create your channels for money. And so that's what the workshop's about.
Well, that's really exciting. And you gave this workshop when, last month?
I think it was last, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
May.
Well, I'm very eager to talk about it because it isn't just, I mean, it's interesting to talk about how spiritual people have often kind of not neglected the money thing, but we've just sort of stepped outside of it. But a lot of people are falling out of what was their financial security at this time, too. So it's all kind of jumbled together, isn't it?
Right. It's all over the planet.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to hear what Galexis has to say about that.
I'm sure they have plenty to say. That workshop was a two-day workshop, and they had plenty to say there.
Did people rush out and become wealthy?
Well, there's actually several people who have had major financial, positive financial shifts since the workshop. We haven't heard from everybody,
mm-hmm.
but most people, when they attended the workshop later on, they said, you know, it just changed my whole attitude about money. It changed my whole relationship with money. Everything feels different now. And we're getting that also from the people who are listening to the workshop on CD.
Oh, right. And
yeah.
And that's available through galexisspirit.com?
That's correct, yeah.
Great. Okay, well, I'm eager to hear how you bring all that together so that we can all roll in the dough in a wee while.
Okay, so let me get out of the way.
Or maybe in a day.
Maybe so. And I'll get out of the way and let Galexis come on in.
Great. Thanks, Ginger.
Okay.
Good
I'm
to talk
be quiet
to you.
For a few seconds.
All right.
All right, we are here. We are Galexis.
Hi, Galexis. Welcome to the show. How wonderful to connect with you again.
Well, it's a total pleasure for us as well.
Well, we're going to talk with you tonight about, or pick your brains, your many, many multifaceted brains about money and how we can help ourselves and others with that.
Well, it's a very hot topic right now on the planet, since it seems to be in some kind of short supply for a lot of people.
It sure does, or maybe it's just a shifting systems, the way money ran, it doesn't flow in the same channels anymore, does it?
No, it doesn't. It's not quite as available to the middle class as it was. It's been much more channeled into the more exclusive or upper classes.
That's and really
interesting.
Because
of that, there's more of a gap, in a sense. In a sense, there's a dropping out of a lot of people out of the middle class down into the lower levels.
I always appreciate that you give us some points of view that include the political realities of our time. Do you see that we can shift that? Do you see that the shift will include
yes,
that?
People can, and the world is intending to do that. In a sense, that's part of the program that all of you created as first waivers, as we like to call you, the ones who are going to bring in this new template, this new reality framework, going to have much more abundance for everyone. But the world has been, in especially the collective consciousness, very focused on money as a scarce commodity, and that only those who are superior out manipulating, out being able to supply certain things that people want, or that are very, you know, the masses want, are able to really rise up and make tremendous fortunes, whereas a lot of people now or at this time on the planet are just struggling to kind of keep the, you know, the rent paid or the mortgage paid and the roof over their heads and food in their mouths. So,
And it's not just here, it's all over the world.
Oh, it's
it?
All over the world. And if you'll notice that there is much more an increase of profits and financial abundance in the upper classes. They're just getting richer.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, it's all part of a tricky system that most people don't pay any attention to. And that is the corporate structure, the corporations. The corporations and the institutions. The corporation is an institution. It is a way of organizing. It is a hierarchical system, okay? And this hierarchical system is really based loosely on the male chauvinistic hierarchy, which is, of course, based on the military. And of course, religious orders, say the Catholic Church, has hierarchies as well. And most religious orders have hierarchies. And all these kind of hierarchies create tremendous stress and pressure on individuals that they must put all their attention and their focus to rising up the hierarchy, because if they don't do that and if they don't have the talent and the capacity to get up there and to fight their way to the top, so to speak, and become a top dog, they're looking at mediocrity. As far as, and because of course the hierarchy is aligned to money.
But I thought we had heard for quite a while that there would be more of an evening out where people would want to, even from the hierarchy, that consciousness would rise and there would want to be a desire for more of a win-win. Is that not ever going to happen?
Well, that's going to happen, but you see, it has to come from the masses. It has to come from a grassroots movement. That's actually what you as spiritual beings are initiating. And despite the fact that it appears that the mainstream or the consensus culture is just going lickety-split and fast as all get out, but still into the money thing, actually the consciousness expansion that's going on by the first waivers, by those who are more spiritually aligned, who have more humanitarian impulses, who are more willing to see everyone as one, right? It doesn't reach the top of the hierarchies, the people who've put in their time, who've put in their push drive, their crazy focus to get up there, to make their way up to the top, to get all the goodies, to get all the stuff. You know, it takes, sometimes it takes them to get up there, to get everything they want, and then to realize that there's no more to go. There's no place to go from there. But that's something kind of like the Buddha, you know, where he said, well, what's more? You know, this isn't everything. This isn't it. There's something else. And then he went out and looked for it. You see, but most people don't do that.
I was taught years ago that there would be a rising tide of consciousness even through those who are very high up in the military or corporations or whatever.
There is an increase of consciousness there. There is. But it has to be a grassroots movement. It has to come from the middle class. It can't come from the upper classes. They have no vested interest in it. They don't have any particular need to feel that they need to share. That's not part of the system. When you get up that high, you're still insecure. You're going to lose everything you got, and you're still pushing to get more. There's never enough, you see, at the top. All those people up at the top, they're never rich enough. They never feel that they have enough.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it?
It is mind-boggling because, you see, what they're looking for is safety. They're looking for security. And it's actually an intangible. It's nothing you can get with any physical substance. There's no safety security in the physical plane, per se. It is a energy. It is a vibration. And they're going for that. And the thing is that the reason that they're going for that is because they think if they get to that safety and security, they will no longer have to feel shame. They will no longer have to feel emotional pain. They'll be beyond the hurt, beyond the wounds. There's a fantasy about that. That they will be so successful, everyone will love them, everyone will lick ass, you know, everybody will kowtow to them. They'll be the lords of the world. And then, therefore, they will have all the power and they will never fear again. But the problem is, of course, that no matter how much stuff you have, it never takes care of that.
Well, also, if you're looking for safety and you're way up on the pinnacle, there's always somebody wants to undo you, isn't there?
Of course. It's a cutthroat place. There's people who's beneath you who want your job, who want to take you down, who are going to compete with you, fight you. It's all, you know, very military. It's all very macho up there. And the problem is even that women who've gotten into the corporate structure, we thought that, you know, that women were going to soften it a bit, but the corporate structure is so strong, the institution of it is so powerful that women themselves have fallen prey to it and become just as rabid, push-drive slave drivers themselves.
Do you see any change? Because we keep hearing also that the feminine is going to be able to balance
yes,
the masculine.
Yes, it is. But you see, it requires a healing of the masculine energy. And this, what's going on the planet right now in this chaos, in this darkness, of the dark chaos where everything is falling apart, this is where everybody's saying, oh my gosh, you know, the whole financial world is falling apart. Well, the structures are dissolving so that new ones can be created. It's a very powerful time. And those who know how to utilize it are going to have a wonderful, wonderful turnaround in their own personal lives and be able to share it with the planet. But the key here is that the male chauvinistic model, the whole thing about the man who must cover all his weaknesses and never let anyone see that he has a sensitivity to anything. He must be totally powerful, totally strong and rich. And that other than that, he doesn't have enough value. This particular piece has to heal. And it has to come from enough men and their women who have healed the shame, who no longer have all those codependent issues in their relationship where the men are not totally sensitive and very upset about their financial life all the time. Men can be very, very much insecure. They don't reveal it. Men are not allowed to express any of their feelings, especially if there's any kind of vulnerability there. So they keep it all inside. And New Age men, spiritual men, do this too. And they keep it all inside, but they're all worried about money. They're all worried about, you know, their identity, so wrapped up in the financial. Now,
I have to laugh and go, one of the things they're worried about also is fear, because we're taught so much not to be afraid, but if you're afraid, you try not to admit it. So that's a problem,
too. You can't admit your fear. And also, they have a fear that they're not going to make it to top dog. They have a fear they're not going to make the money that they need, and they've got to keep pushing, they've got to keep trying, and they're not good enough until they get there, whatever there is. And so this is just embedded in men. And And women don't understand this motivation because it creates this tendency on men to hide themselves emotionally, mentally, et cetera, so you don't really see the real person and what he's really feeling in there. Now, the thing is they don't feel safe enough to be themselves, except a few very courageous men on the planet have seen through this total training in male chauvinism, this total training in the man code, right?
Mm-hmm.
And are breaking it and are stepping around it or trying to discover how to be full and complete and how to have value other than money, you see? And what's interesting is that the spiritual people, men and women, are not here to make a lot of money. This is not why you came, okay?
Darn.
And most spiritual people really don't care about money. They just don't really care about money. It's a necessity. You got to have it. And they will put put a whole bunch of other projects and other things aside and try to focus on it and try to get it going and try to figure out some kind of arrangement with it. But really, it's not what you really wanted to do when you came here.
No.
It's to focus on making money. You really wanted to come here and focus on loving and experiencing and adventuring and creating.
And manifesting. But that's, again, about money, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. The manifesting actually that you came, that you wanted to do, was about creating.
Well, I want to go back to something you said where you mentioned identity. Because one of the things that hits me as the systems break down is we really have to, it seems anyway, that we really have to step out of our identity and the way we've described ourselves.
Exactly. You got it. Mm. And that's the big job that people have right now, so they can get out of the dissolving of the old structures and create some new structures that are going to bring them success and bring them happiness and bring them the opportunities they want in the physical.
So these few men that have begun to morph and reclaim themselves and their...
They have changed their identity.
Uh-huh.
They are not identifying with a guy who's got to have money. You see, there's a pecking order on the planet. And if you're white, young, and rich, you're at the top.
Mm-hmm. And you're a doctor.
Well, rich. Doesn't matter if you're a doctor. You can be a CEO.
Well, that's true, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. It doesn't matter, you know, if you what degrees you have. If you have a lot of money, you can be a sports star.
Hmm.
Right? If you're young, you've got money, and you're white, that's the top. All right? Now, people who are black have a lot of, men who are black have a lot of money. They can get up there pretty good. You know, not to the top, but they can get up there. But when men age, they start sliding.
Hmm.
And so a lot of men, you know, the midlife crisis, for example, trying to scramble to get back up there. Right? So this whole system is like, if the darker your skin, the lower you kind of naturally gravitate to on the pecking order. And actually, by the way, the pecking order is really for men.
Oh, it is for men.
Women in the pecking order.
Oh, really? Okay, good. Well, that's a little bit encouraging.
Outside the pecking order, they're considered less than the pecking order. That's the whole male chauvinist, that women are less than men.
Hmm.
And men feel that this pecking order is what determines how valuable they are, determines their identity. If you're low on the pecking order, you're a loser. And your identity is really pretty poor. So, yes, the key to getting across this gap, across this dark chaos, across the void, is for men to be able to step into their beingness. And this is for everyone, to change the old identity, step into the void, into being, learning who they are as essence and valuing the essence and getting into the intangibles of safety, security, of love, of freedom, of trust, okay, mm-hmm. of confidence, getting into the intangibles, and therefore then by choice, by opportunities that they can create, therefore, when you know who you are, opportunities open up like crazy.
Mm.
And so you can, by your choice and your preference and your alignment with the greater principles, and a greater identity of yourself, you can put together a new reality. And so what we did in the Money Magic Workshop was to take people through this whole process of clearing out their resistance to this whole hierarchy, resistance to the mainstream, resistance to the material plane, okay?
You mean, and for spiritual people, clearing out their resistance to the mainstream?
Exactly.
Okay.
Because most spiritual people have an attitude of better than, because we're spiritual. We're better than those unconscious blokes who are over there, you know, drinking beer and having pizza and gaining too much weight and being sick and watching football. And, you know, there's all these kinds of, like, judgments of the typical, you know, average person.
Dwell, you know? Cool called it spiritual narcissism in one of my interviews.
Well, it's at least that, but it's a kind of a spiritual ego. It's a better than. It's a looking down on people because they're not spiritual. You know, I'm spiritual. I study, you know, the texts. I read the books. I meditate. You know, I'm trying to be a good person, and I know all about 2012, and I'm doing this, and I, you know, all that. And these people, they're going around all totally ignorant, the stupid people. You know, it's like a real, real gap there.
Yeah, really.
And in our workshop, we close that gap.
Oh, okay.
Because, you see, one of the reasons that new spiritual people are scared, in a sense, or resistant to the mainstream culture, is because they're afraid of it. They've been hurt by it. They've been shamed by it. They've been humiliated, degraded, rejected by it.
And mocked.
And it's painful. They don't want to go back to it. Mm-hmm. They want to go into their ivory tower over here in the spiritual realms, and let's go over here, and we don't have to deal with that all that mundane stuff and be subject to other people's, you know, judgments and harassment. And so there's this separation for those people, and they keep themselves on the fringe. They keep themselves separate because they're afraid of being hurt. They're afraid. And a lot of these people are receivers, receptive people, healers, for example, empaths. Well, you know, if you're an empath and you're not real selective, what are you going to pick up? What's out there broadcasting through the spiritual air, the psychic airwaves, tremendous amount of futility, terror, rage, you know, anxiety.
Victimization.
Yeah, victimization, fears, fantasies, unrealistic fantasies. All sorts of crap is just coming through you all the time. It's like radio waves. And what radio station do you tune on? If you're afraid of the consensus reality, what radio station are you going to tune into when you tune into the consensus? You're going to tune into all the things that validate your fear. You understand?
I do, yes.
You see, it's a frequency alignment thing.
So when I think of the law of attraction, I think a lot of us thought...
That's it.
Yeah, so we thought we would connect with people like us, and we didn't have to bother with all
those
beings.
Exactly, exactly. So you got your little insular communities and so on. But it doesn't work, as you've probably noticed. You just don't, the communities aren't really that rich and full and complete. Most people we speak to have a little bit of an issue that they don't have enough of a network. They don't feel fully involved and engaged in a network. Now, some people do, but we find that a lot of them feel that they're missing something. It's something they were looking for in their families, but their families, for the most part, are not in the same focus as they are.
But it's interesting because you and others have taught that we're kind of leading the shift or leading
you
the change.
But the thing is as long as you have resistance to the mainstream, essentially, the mainstream has turned its back on you, doesn't know you're there. How can you lead from behind?
That's a good question.
Right? You've got to get into the mainstream. You've got to step in, be part of the world. And you're safe in the world if you know how to move your energy. And if you don't have judgment, then you don't get snagged by it and trapped by it and hurt by it. You can use your energy, you can use by your choice, the way you utilize your energy makes all the difference.
So we have to go back in and get normal jobs, Galexis?
No, that's form. We're not talking about the form. We're not talking about the physical form of it. You know, a job is a form.
Okay,
we're talking about the intangibles.
Okay, good.
You know, we're talking about relationships.
That's
yeah,
true.
You have to be able to relate to these people, the so-called unconscious or the great unwashed masses or whatever it is, without any judgment. You've got to be able to relate to all these people and to really see the spirit of the one in them, see the preciousness of the divine in them, and not treat them as if they're ignorant or stupid, but really to treasure everybody. You see, the thing is that if you can do that, if you can have that much love, and you take down all the judgments and all the resistances and all the barriers between you and the world will see you. You will become visible. And that's part of your fear as a group, as a spiritual people. You're afraid of being too visible because you've had other lifetimes where when you were visible, oops, you got burned at the stake.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying we have to release our defenses.
Oh, absolutely.
Hmm.
Because that means that you have to also release your fears of the world.
Hmm.
You've got to take down all the judgments, all the separation. You've got to step into the energy flow. The world, the mainstream, has extraordinary energy flow. It has a dynamic, it's like a river of energy, a river of light, a river of a powerful river. And if you're not connecting with that river, you cannot direct it anywhere.
And
if you're stepping outside on the bank saying, oh, that's just the mainstream, they're going the wrong direction, you can't do anything with it. You understand?
I think I do, yes. I'm still not sure how to get in there.
Well, that's what we do in the workshop.
Okay, good.
We teach people how to work their energies, how to create channels of manifestation for money, and how to link into and work with their ego and work with their reality as a friend, to work with all the energies that they've got, how to direct them, how to focus them, how to channel them, and therefore how to open up the channels for receiving. Because most spiritual people have real difficulty receiving, and especially from the mainstream.
Hmm.
So that's why money magic has been making so much of a big splash. It is, in a way, it is new information for spiritual people.
Hmm.
You know, most people, when they go to a money workshop, they look at their beliefs, they look at attitudes, they do programs for manifestation, and they plug in their, you know, their fantasies, their imagination, they do all the, you know, law of attraction work, they think, and so on. But what they're really missing here is that next step is really to be able to plug into the mainstream and then direct it, to direct it where they wish it to go. And the mainstream, interestingly enough, would like to be directed to a place of light and love. It would like that. It wants it. It craves it. It calls for it. They're frightened out there.
Mm-hmm. I bet
they want it. Mm-hmm. But you can't go and talk to them until you're willing just to be there, to be present there.
Is this true with for all kinds of disparate groups around the world, like even the, say, the Muslim and the, you know, the Jewish people and the born
again? Well, yeah, if you look at all the religious groups, they're all highly judgmental of the other religious groups.
Oh, yeah.
And so they maintain this whole energy of separation, and meanwhile, the individual members are miserable. They're seeking the divine, seeking the divine. And so they end up just being really angry, filled with rage, feeling powerless, frustrated. They think if they make everybody else like them, they'll feel safe. Again, it's this safety thing.
Hmm.
But if you live in safety as an intangible energy, you can radiate your love, you can radiate your presence. People will pick up on the radar, and you can attract people to you.
No matter what nationality or whatever.
No matter what
religion,
it is. You can
or
cross all the boundaries. You can touch the people who are ready to be touched. who will lead the other people, who will lead the other people, etc.
It's interesting because, like they say in all, for example, world religions, there are common principles and tenets and spiritual flows, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. There are. Underneath it all, mm-hmm. But that's part of the mystic foundation of all the religions, where in the mystic beginnings of all religions, there was a connection with the divine. Mm-hmm. And that's what usually, you know, like Moses or Muhammad or Buddha or Jesus, these were the people who were connected to the divine. And most people who are in religions now are not feeling connected to the divine.
And why is that? Is that because of the divisive styles?
No, that's because of the political hierarchy that's established in religions.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was questioning the other day. Oh, I question this fairly often, actually. It seems like political hierarchies have been in existence since man began to record himself.
Well, actually, it pretty much emerged. Many systems were not hierarchical until about 2,000 years ago or so. It's part of a wave. It was something that, and it is something that the human race needed to move through. It was actually an advance, but it did suppress the feminine. Now the feminine needs to come back in each individual into balance, mm-hmm. And you'll see it first and foremost. Women will learn how to do it. Women are learning how to be men as well as women. But overall, they're the ones who want more oneness. So you're going to see it with women, but it's the men who are going to make the huge change, because men are the ones who count in the pecking order. And if enough men step out of the pecking order, then there will create a collapse to a certain extent of the pecking order. There'll be an alternative to the hierarchy. Right now, men do not have an alternative to the hierarchy.
Hmm. Do you think that women, let me see, we women, can we help the men do that? Don't we lead from being behind a lot of the time?
Well, yes, but this is something that men have to be courageous enough to do. Women try their damnedest to make the man feel emotionally safe.
Yes.
But it never works unless the man chooses consciously to be free, to be himself. If a woman tries her best to make a man feel safe, she ends up most of the time suppressing herself and silencing herself and not saying what she thinks and what she feels. And therefore, she keeps holding herself back for fear she's going to create conflict, make him unhappy, and then she's going to be unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably going to blame her for making him unhappy, too.
Plus, we're taught the male ego is a very fragile
thing.
That's
the teachings. That's part of this teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't go into all of this type of stuff in the Money Magic seminar. Basically, what we're doing in Money Magic is teaching people how to connect to the mainstream, how to be safe and empowered there, how to be free of the hierarchy, and how to work their energy and work their magic so that they can create channels of income for themselves.
So I know that it's best for people to get either attend the workshop. Are you going to give that workshop again?
We don't know. We've had some people ask for it. We might, but mm-hmm. But at this time it's available on CD, and it's pretty intense.
Really puts
people
us through
really,
it.
You know, getting into it, something like 9 CDs.
Oh my, good
it's
grief.
It's a long workshop. It's a whole weekend. And we would enjoy, you know, adding the Friday night before it.
Hmm.
The Friday night before it, we did one on charisma, which is also using energy to become more visible and to attract people to you. So that was a love and healing evening, and it's part of the subscription to success that we have available.
Oh, wow. So you can create your own charisma.
Yes, yeah, so you know how to work the energy so that you get noticed,
mm-hmm.
so that you can create magnetic attraction to yourself. It's excellent for marketing purposes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you have something you want to sell or market.
Wow. I don't quite, a part of me wants to get more information on how to do magic and money and relate to the mainstream. Can you give us a few more pointers? And I think I'd like to get hold of the workshop too.
Well, of course. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things is that we work with in the workshop is that we deal with the fear of loss.
Okay.
It's a fear of loss that gets people trapped into scarcity.
Well, that's for sure, isn't it?
Comes and says, you know, we have a sale on and you can get it for so much, but the deadline ends on this day, and after that, the price goes way up.
Mm-hmm.
You're afraid of losing the opportunity, so you do rush and pay, you know, and buy it. Some people wouldn't even have gotten around to buying it unless it was put into a fear of loss context. Do you understand?
Yes, I sure do.
Right? It's used in selling and marketing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But what it tends to do is make people very scared about their future, very timid as far as being able to express themselves and to do what they feel that they really wish to do. It keeps them stuck in little limiting places and limiting jobs and limiting circumstances.
So, like, if I really want to, I mean, I'm afraid that I won't ever get anywhere if I deviate from that path. Is that
exactly
right?
Yeah. Exactly. You're afraid that you'll never get the support, financial support, that you're going to be poor and so poor and you're never going to get anywhere. So let's stay on the tried and true and stay with what feels, you know, the most secure at the moment. And so a lot of people get stuck in ruts.
And what is security these days?
Security?
Mm-hmm.
Well, security is a state of mind always, okay? And it's no less a state of mind today than it was, you know, 20 years ago or 50 years ago. But security is a state of knowing that you have a certain level of confidence that no matter what comes up, you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
That you have the resources, that you have the magic, that you have the support of your reality. You see, you came into this reality with this whole system of support. And most of you who are on the spiritual path still are not using it.
Which is the support of...
support of your reality as a friend working with you. You still take the feedback you get from your reality and interpret it through your negative ego.
Hmm.
And the negative ego says, oh, that's not safe, that's not right, these people don't like you, you're not good enough for that, you can't do that. And, the, you know, you get fed all this, you know, internal mental self-talk BS and keep yourself stuck in a little box.
So learning that reality is plastic or fluid.
Reality is fluid. It's there to support you. It's there to bring you what you desire.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people feel guilty about desiring.
Hmm.
And other people feel that they cannot receive anything.
You said spiritual.
They feel
spiritual.
Totally, huh?
You said earlier spiritual people have a hard time with
they
receiving.
They have a really hard time. Everybody does because everybody's trained in this whole system, which is you must give, 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 give. And particularly women are trained to be givers and not receivers. They don't get much back in return.
Mm-hmm.
But they give, 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 give. And that's a good woman is a woman who gives, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of this is forced giving. It's really, in a sense, giving out of requirements, giving out of guilt, pressure to give, and so on. But where are you encouraged to receive in this culture?
Hmm.
You are considered, if you receive a lot, that you're greedy, that you're grabby, that you're acquisitive, that you're taking stuff away from others.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this whole attitude that's kind of layered over giving and receiving and taking it away from the pure fundamental energy force that it is. So we clean up that in the workshop so that you can distinguish what giving is from earning, from forced giving, from guilt-laden giving, from fear-based giving, and you can move right into true giving.
And there's a correlative there of true receiving.
If you truly give, you do not get depleted.
Mm.
All right? Mm-hmm. And then if you can give, if you can open from that point to receiving, and we open people's receiving rooms. That's what we call the space and the allowance that people have to receive. So we open that up in the workshop so that people can receive. And we distinguish all the different issues around receiving, because mm-hmm. there are plenty on those, too. Okay, receiving means I'm going to be controlled by whoever gives to me.
Yeah,
If I'm receiving, I'm weaker than the person who's giving.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm receiving, I'm selfish. If, you know, all these kinds of limitations that are put onto receiving.
Well, they'll think I'm less than them.
They'll think I'm less. They'll look down on me. Mm-hmm. People who receive are people who are like on the dole, who live in subsidized housing. Those are people who receive. And they're just, you know, they're just lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not giving anything to society. They're just useless. They're valueless people. You know, there's all these attitudes.
So it's interesting to me as you're talking, I'm going, well, underneath it all is in our identity, we all have hidden motivations for whether it's giving or receiving, don't we? It's like,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we have a life story that mm-hmm. that we have built up over years and years of whether we are capable of giving or capable of receiving, or whether we do giving well or receive well, or all the issues that we have attached to it, and how we need to be seen as noble givers. You see,
big magnanimous folks.
Yes. And so there's all these people in the spiritual path who are fantasizing having millions and millions of dollars so they can do all these wonderful, beneficial things for humanity. So all these foundations they're going to establish, which is going to show people how to love and how to be happy and to enable them this and that and heal them and blah, blah, blah. And so there's all these fantasies about that. But there are very few of those, if any of those, that ever make it into reality.
Hmm.
Because the whole giving and receiving energy is not understood.
Well, yeah, I think that's so. I find it fascinating that the word forgive includes give, you know? There's something.
Exactly.
Hmm.
Yes, what you're doing is that you're giving to another person. You're giving to them their freedom of identity.
That's
that
true,
you're not
isn't
going
it?
To have an attached assumption loaded on them anymore.
Hmm.
And you're freeing yourself. So you're giving from yourself and letting that person off the hook when you are forgiving someone.
Which is a real pure kind of giving, isn't it?
It's a very pure kind of giving. Absolutely.
So let's jump back into the mainstream. How do we take all this wonderful information into the mainstream?
Well, it comes one person at a time.
Hmm.
But you're also plugged into a network. So there's kind of a mass movement that as each individual does it for themselves and not just passively waits for the world to develop in their consciousness, you know, they will find that the links that they have in the unseen between their spirit helpers and guides, but also with all others who are part of the first waivers, linked in a oneness network around the planet, are shifting and changing and modulating all the energies of the consensus of the mainstream around the planet. It is, in a sense, very slow, but it's very exciting. But each person, you know, when there is a chaos that is so huge as the one that's going on right now worldwide,
mm-hmm.
the chaos, the breakdown of the old, and the creation from scratch, in a sense, from just imagination of the new templates, of the new orders, the new structures, and this moving in through that void of holding that piece, that fragment of identity, and really healing yourself and really owning who you are. This process, this huge process, this is what we have talked about with you before. We call it emergence.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done emergence workshops where we teach people how to move through the chaos. We have 3 emergence workshops that we did, all weekends as well.
Are they emerging into the third dimensional?
Well, you're emerging to a place to where you can utilize the fourth, four and five dimensions. You're emerging to there. But in order for you to get there, you have to own who you are. You have to shift your identity. Mm. But you also, in order to have that affect the planet, not just you, you've got to drop this barrier between you and the mainstream, this judgment barrier,
mm-hmm.
this fear barrier, because otherwise it's not going to affect the world as like you want it to. However, if you fully go there, one person going there will change the whole chaos worldwide. Most people think, oh, I'm just one person. One person can make a difference.
How can that happen?
Because in the chaos is the dark chaos, which is the dismantling part, which is what everybody's freaked out about, where all the old structures and the old forms and everything are dissolving and falling apart. They fall apart into pieces. And so everything's in pieces. Everybody has to go through this fragmentation temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
You went through it. You know what we're talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so in that fragmentation, there's all these pieces around. Now, when there's all these pieces around, you change one piece with strong intention. It's huge. It makes it a bigger piece than the other pieces.
Hmm.
It has a certain sense of impact on all the pieces. Because most people don't understand this, but reality is one thing. It is made of all the same substance. You and other people, rocks and trees and animals and plants, you're all the same substance.
Hmm.
When you direct by intention a spiritual healing for yourself and you lift to another frequency, another level of capacity, another dimension of loving, caring, freedom, power, etc., you're making, with your intention, a greater focus into the chaos than others. These pieces are unfocused, but a focus going in there will tend to align and organize and start moving and changing pieces. So each individual has a profound impact upon the world. If you take down the barriers between you and the consensus, you'll start to see and feel and experience the impact that you have on the world. You'll begin to see it.
Hmm.
There's a man in Santa Monica named Don Estes, and he has access to a supercomputer that is showing the modulations of energy, of consciousness, frequency, vibrations, of the planet. He can do an individual's tableau, an individual's patternings of frequencies from the person's voice. And you can see a mandala, an exquisitely detailed, intricate mandala, and you can see it move, you can see it change, you can see it flow. As you flow, as you think a fear, it will modulate. It will add some fear to the mix, to all the frequencies that make up you. If you add love, the frequencies all shift again.
Hmm.
It changes the overall field of resonance that you are. And everybody's going around a field of resonance made up of whole bunches of little pieces. Like, you know, you have different interests and preferences and ideas than other people. So you have different pieces, right?
And each one of our own personal pieces has a different frequency, eh?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So the combination of all your frequencies, of all these different pieces, forms a field around you, your aura, your energy body, and it comes into resonance. It all works together to create the unique oneness of you,
hmm.
right? The planet has the same thing going. And this guy has, with his computer, he has an ongoing modulating image of what's going on the planet vibrationally.
Oh, wow. How exciting.
Yes, and the channel went and had an experience with him and sat there and watched it. And she watched it and she felt she tuned in and got really, you know, in meditation, she just tuned right into it and watched it for a couple of minutes. It was the most amazing thing. She could feel how the new light pieces were being added at a greater rate than the dark pieces.
Oh, great. From the universe or from people or from all
people.
Of the above? Wow.
People around the planet are
How
healing.
Exciting, huh?
It is. It's very exciting. This is the foundation mm-hmm. that over the next 2 to 3 years is going to make a huge change in the way people perceive themselves and how they can and what resources they have to respond to their reality. It's everybody's got to get out there. Their stuff. You know, there's this whole thing about thesis, antithesis, and synthesis.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going on continuously on the planet. It's part of the duality, right? Thesis and antithesis are a duality. And then synthesis is the union. This is a higher perspective, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to the higher perspective, you no longer judge one side against the other.
Hmm.
All right.
So
right
it's interesting,
now, people,
going back to what you said about corporate world, I'm going, if more beings are bringing light up around the world, isn't that going to touch people in higher levels as well so that it's nonlinear? Not that they would not have to grasp for things that made them secure, but to be melted a little bit or to have a non-judgmental higher frequency base energy?
When they feel that it is a valuable for them, when they see a benefit for themselves,
mm-hmm.
they will do it. But until they see a benefit, they don't feel at all interested.
Hmm.
Some of them do. There's a few who have melted. There's some really beautiful things that, for example, Bill Gates is doing.
Hmm.
And foundations. Beautiful, wonderful, loving, caring foundations. Billions of dollars being given to beautiful causes and healings around the planet.
So that is magical.
And that is magical, absolutely. But it's not something you can expect from every corporation. What is required, though, is for people to tell the corporation that they're disappointed in the way the corporation is treating everybody.
Mm.
And say, look, you know, you need to be more integrous. You need to care more. You need to be whatever. And until you do that, I'm not going to buy your products.
And so that is, in a way, getting into
that. And that's the benefit. Money is the only benefit for a corporation. They want to make money for their stockholders, and they want as much profit as possible. So if they see people saying, well, wait a minute, we don't like what you're doing, and so we would like for you to be step up to the plate and be more aware and awake and more responsible for what you're doing. And until that time, we're going to go somewhere else.
Well, and unfortunately, we have to end this shortly. But Galexis, do you think that that's going to happen with the American government, for example? If we stand up and make a fuss?
If people would stand up, yes. Right now, you see, part of the problem is that the corporations and their representatives have gotten control over the government.
Mm-hmm.
The government itself is a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And the big corporations, multinational corporations, have, in a sense, brainwashed legislature and the president and everybody into thinking that what's good for them is good for the country.
Mm-hmm.
As if they are producing the jobs. They're not. They're farming them out to, you know, China, Korea, wherever, and that type of thing. But they threaten. They say, oh, we'll take jobs away if you don't give us, you know, special benefits and tax breaks and things like that. So they've got, you know, they've got a lot of leverage. For example, all the big pharma, big drug companies have like a couple of representatives representing drug interests for every congressperson
wow.
to lobby them.
Wow.
And they have the money for it. And they make billions of dollars. So they're not going to encourage anybody to give medical freedom to the members of the United States, to the citizens. The citizens have to demand it.
So our job is to raise our voices.
Yes, your job is to find the truth, to educate yourself. And we're not talking about the conspiracy theorists.
I know.
Because what they tend to do is actually create more duality. Mm-hmm. And people get really, oh, I'm not going to object because, you know, crazy guy talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they put it in the most dark terms. It has to go out. That's a thesis and antithesis. But eventually, the truth has to come out.
So basically, just to wrap this up, you're saying that to get into the flow of finances and be using our magic, we need to get right in there and raise our voices and recognize ourselves as a part of it and not as some...
Well, that's true. But now, don't confuse it again with the form.
Okay.
See, the form is that you go and you become a mouse warrior. You know, send emails to everybody. You petition, you whatever. Now, that's really great if you can do that. Some people cannot really, that they just don't have the energy to do that. They just can't seem to do that. They don't know what to do, and they don't want to do that. But if you can do that, that's great. That's a form. That's a form of standing up and saying, protesting and saying, look, this is what we want. This is what we want. But even more so than that, especially for spiritual people, is to use their intention with themselves to really get themselves clear and then to choose with intention, with highest spiritual awareness, with guides, with helpers, with your reality to make a difference.
Yay. Well, we have to say goodbye and thank you ever so much for sharing with us.
You're certainly welcome.
I'm really happy to tell everyone that you're coming back on in just over 3 weeks.
That's right. And in the meantime, we do recommend that people go to our website, which is galexisspirit.com, and you can look at the workshops that are on tape. There's the emergence workshops, how to get through the chaos. There's the money magic. But also, what we highly recommend is the Subscription to Success, which is a weekly juice up to get the energy up there, to get you connected, to get you plugged into the divine, which is what most spiritual people actually are missing.
Mm-hmm.
Because dealing with the world drains them because of all of this resistance and stuff. And so you want to have it really easy to deal with the world. That's why we want you to juice up every week.
It's our vibrational vitamins, say?
Yeah, it's like vitamins, but it's like going to church or synagogue to get your weekly hit, uplift, you know. But this is really about juicing you up, getting your energy field cohesive, getting it strong. It's like building a spiritual immune system.
Wonderful.
For dealing with the world. So we highly recommend that. That's an inexpensive subscription, and you get a two-hour workshop every week.
Wonderful. That sounds great. And that's Galexis Spirit. That's galexisspirit.com, right?
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, I thank you so much, and I thank Ginger and Daniel, who's right there in the background, and we'll be looking forward to our next time together in 3 weeks.
That'll be wonderful, and thank you for having us on your show.
It's always a pleasure. Good night.
Farewell.
Wow, that gave me a lot to think about tonight. Thank you so much for listening to Paradigm Shifters. I hope you learned as much as I did. And we'll be looking forward to Galexis coming back on the last Tuesday in July. That's almost a month away. So we're going to pick their brains about a lot more things, including aliens at that point. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, if you have any feedback for this show, or if you have suggestions for guests, or you just want to talk to me or have a session with me, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com. That's Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com. No H in Entwistle. So thank you so much for listening. Good night and many, many blessings.